I'm not talking. I'm not going to say anything there. Maybe we need to move Dr. Sheldon over to here.
Really?
Yeah, because we're turning his microphone up, and I started getting a
Let's
little, bit of that Beatles I Feel Fine feedback that was coming out there at the beginning.
Okay.
As that well. And I have the doctor to move in so we don't have to crank up the microphone too much here.
He's going to be right on that
thing. As well.
He's got his coffee cup there, and he, you know, there's always a chance of things spilling here. That's okay. Well, we can weather it. We were in the rain yesterday.
Yeah, we had rain coming through us here at the Illyria Park gazebo. By the way, Craig, before we get to Dr. Sheldon here from University Hospital's Illyria Medical Center, the gazebo that we have here, how old do you think this gazebo is?
I'm guessing maybe 40 years.
This the Illyria Park gazebo, according to the plaque over there, was part of the Illyria's 175th anniversary, dedicated in 1996.
So 19 years old.
Well, I don't know.
Is that right?
I'm not doing math or anything like that at the moment, but obviously maybe there was could have been something here prior to that.
Right.
But
right.
I thought to myself maybe this was an old one, because you think a gazebo is going back to, you know, barbershop people singing, right? The Sunday concert, people coming out to here as well. But this one that we're in, exactly 20 years old that we have here. I can sort of tell by the pavers. If you notice the stones that were on here, this is kind of modern-day paver kind of thing, not something that was probably handcrafted as well. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And we are broadcasting from the Illyria Ely Square Park Gazebo. It's part of our spotlight on Illyria. And we always like to have somebody from the hospital stopping by. Not because they're needed. Even though yesterday with electricity,
not yet.
The way our engineer sometimes works with the parts of things, you never know what we might be needed. But good morning, Dr. Sheldon. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Good morning. What a beautiful morning. And, you know, what a great day. You know, Cleveland and the greater Cleveland region is on a resurgence. And, yeah, it was a disappointing evening last night. But, you know, this story's not over. And the Cavs and Cleveland and the region are on the rise, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
When you see or hear about all these different injuries that go on, is that a common thing that's, you know, if you even trickle down to just athletes, people are being more active? Is that a lot of times when people are getting repaired, fixed, that type of a thing happening these days?
Yeah, the body's a machine just like your car, and if you drive it hard, you got to do maintenance, and you've got to take care of it. And when they're playing tough games like that in rapid succession, it's difficult to recover. And, you know, Cleveland lost some of its depth. And so we asked everything of those guys, and they gave everything. And, again, this story is not over.
When you look at that layoff, as with any particular athlete, maybe they play Tuesday and then they get Wednesday off but play again Thursday. That's kind of tough, isn't it, to come back?
Absolutely. And then we all hear in the news about some of the new things that people are doing to get better quicker. And whether it's true or not, we're hearing that LeBron does some cryotherapy, and that's where you get very cold, like 230 degrees below zero. You only do it for a couple of minutes, but supposedly, I guess, it shocks your body into recovering quicker.
Where are some of these sort of theories or ideas coming from? Who is sort of practicing that or cultivating? Medicine always has different angles and areas of, you know, there's things that have to get through a government approval if it gets to the public, things that happen in other countries, that type of a thing. Where are some of these different new ideas coming from? Or are they old ideas just brought forward again?
Well, both, actually, and you're exactly right. They're coming from everywhere around the world. As I understand it, the cryotherapy started more in Europe. But it's something that we will first see in elite athletes, and it will trickle down. Some people will begin adapting some of these techniques and treatments on a more granular level in the area.
Surgery was like that for many things, with your knee, elbow. We hear that Tommy John surgery talking about certain things that were done, and once it becomes perfected and there's a lot of them done, then it gets probably schooled to other people, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. A good example of that is University Hospitals downtown in Cleveland one of the first hospitals, if not the first hospital in the country, to do a valve replacement treatment called a TAVR, where they replace your aortic valve by going in through your artery, just like they do in the cath lab. So instead of splitting your chest open, they slide a catheter in, they replace the valve, and instead of being in the hospital a week or more with intensive care unit stay, you might be home in a day or two. And that was initiated with in South America. And it was brought to the United States by the team at UH.
We hear these stories of people perhaps being rushed out of a hospital because of their insurance coverage or lack thereof. But in a case like that, and I assume others too, people leave sooner because of the new technology that allows them to do so.
Exactly. You know, back in the old days when I went to medical school, if you got your gallbladder out, you were probably in there 5 to 7 days. And we kept you in bed pretty rigidly for the first couple of days. Now we do it through a couple small incisions, just an inch or two long in your belly. And we do it through scopes. And we can even send you home later on the same day. Quicker recovery, less problems, less pain, and less stay in the hospital.
What about your badge of honor? Where's that? Show us your scar. Show us that type of a thing.
That's right. Jay, we're going to have to find new badges.
Maybe just a little bit of a healthy life, I guess, is probably the biggest thing that you can get out on that. What are some of the new things also going on in the hospital that you're
I'm going to start big and move down. Certainly everybody's well aware that we've become a part of the university hospital systems, and it's been great for our local hospital. And that system continues to grow. We've just announced just a couple of weeks ago the addition of Robinson Memorial in the Kent-Ravenna area. We're also in the process of what we call due diligence, where you carefully look through everything to make a final decision with Samaritan Healthcare System in Ashland. So the system itself is growing, but they're helping us to grow. An example of that is, and you may have caught some of this, is University Hospitals is developing a trauma system. Yes, Metro has a trauma system, and it's a very good trauma system. But for a large metropolitan area like Cleveland, it can sustain two trauma systems. And it's good to have that redundancy built into the system to care for patients. So University Hospital Case Medical Center downtown is working for designation as a level one trauma center, similar to what Metro is. And the outlying community hospitals like Elyria are working for development of a level three trauma designation. So what it's going to do is it's going to upgrade and expand the trauma care capabilities in the greater Cleveland area. And they're bringing that to us in Elyria. Other programs that they're strengthening here in our emergency room, we have Rainbow Rapid Care, which is making sure that when pediatric patients are cared for in our emergency room, that they get the same kind of treatment and treatment protocols that they would receive in the Rainbow facility downtown. In addition, we're enhancing our stroke capabilities in our ER to make sure that the care we give the stroke patients is even better. Our open heart program, which right now is supported by two heart surgeons, both which have experience at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, is going to be enhanced with a third open heart surgeon that's just completed his training at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. So we have a strong contingency of open heart surgery and a strong program that we've had for many years at Elyria. With the addition of North Ohio Heart to that team, they've been around a long time, do a fine job. We're very proud of our cardiovascular services there.
You know, you talk about redundancies. Of course, you don't want to see any kind of community disaster or anything like that, but university hospitals would be poised should something like that come along.
Certainly. We never want something like that to happen to a community. The reality is it happens in smaller doses on a regular basis, which is unfortunate. But should the big event occur, we all need to be prepared, not just Metro, not just University Hospitals, but the clinic and others. And I can tell you they are. The hospital systems throughout this region collaborate very well at times of need or stress. If we reflect back several months to when the Ebola situation came up, I can tell you I was very proud of how all the hospital systems in the greater Cleveland area came together to formulate a plan to make sure that if anything happened, which it didn't, that we'd all be prepared.
When something like that does happen, what is there to the tree that starts it all, that all the hospitals, all of that is notified? Does it come out of the media? Is there the government agencies? How is that communicated initially?
Well, through the 911 system, which is expanded, we have systems not only in the region, but the state and nationally that are developed, networks that are ready to come and assist. As an example, we have locations throughout this country where we have stockpiled critical medical equipment, critical pharmaceuticals, drugs, where they can be mobilized very quickly to any place in this country within a matter of hours, should a particular area or region come under a significant need.
It kind of happened that way where we heard about this Ebola, but it was more in the Texas area or whatever. And then you think, okay, you're kind of aware of it. And suddenly there becomes a Cleveland connection, as they call it. So then you have to obviously be heightened more of what's going to happen at that point, I guess.
Absolutely. But again, Cleveland was ready. Cleveland worked together. And, you know, we're very, very fortunate. Cleveland region that we're certainly a part of has some of the best health care in the country. It's to have two great hospital systems, three with Metro and its trauma and burn center. We're very fortunate to have excellent care. And it's symbiotic. They help each other to grow and to strengthen. And as you know, people come from all over the country, all over the world, to the greater Cleveland area to be cared for. And it's because of the great care we all deliver.
You also have the message of preventative medicine. I mean, that's the other part of it, trying to keep people out of your hospitals in a way.
Absolutely. And we all need to do our part in that. I see Craig over the gym on a regular basis. And we all need, it starts at home. You know, we all need to take care of our bodies. We all need to take care of our health. And if we do that and we work together with the healthcare system, we can continue to lengthen longevity as well as the quality of life.
And it's repetitive information. People see it once, they see it again, they see it again. They kind of have to remind themselves about it, or they think other people, you know, they want to know how best to care for themselves and follow a path that suits them, I guess, as best as possible for that.
Absolutely.
Our guest today has been Dr. Don Sheldon, University Hospital's Liria Medical Center. Thank you for stopping in this morning. Appreciate it.